Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon in playing an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 5th of March, 2017. Thought I'd get that in there. If you're listening on Studio 9 Jam, great. If you're listening on Wolf Spirit Radio, great. If you're listening on Ever Beyond Radio, fantastic. If you're listening on Haggishag, Cosmic Reality, if you're listening on YouTube, and this isn't Studio 9 Jam or Simon Parkes' official thing, then go to Studio 9 Jam, because that's where the real action is. And you won't get all these adverts. Right. And I think that's me as far as the anti-piracy clauses. Simon Parkes, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, JP. I'm fine. Were you playing the end credits then? When, just for a second?
Yeah, it went on for, it's a playlist, so it just stepped from one to the other.
I thought that was the shortest radio show I'd ever done.
Absolutely. You could go home now.
Yes, I could, and I won't. Go home until the job's done.
That's right.
That's for many of us. Right, let's crack on. It's lovely to be back, with the wonderful listeners and yourself. Right, I'm going to just go through a few bits which are quite important, I think. And a couple of people actually have emailed or texted me in with stuff which, interestingly enough, I was going to come on air with. So I sort of said to somebody, you know, well, just wait and then listen to the radio show and you'll get your answer. So... then we all get it at the same time, don't we? So
yeah, that's a good idea. You know, if you get any questions during the week, stack them up. Yeah, and we can do
exactly.
That.
Well, I thought I'd do that. One of the questions, which is this ongoing thing about Antarctica. Remember that just before the holiday Christmas break, Vice President, very popular astronaut, and the Pope, all visited. Because it was considered that whatever was going to come out of Antarctica would change the status quo in terms of the religion, the economy, the political situation. And then, of course, Donald Trump was elected, and whatever deals had been struck with the old administration, didn't hold true. So they had to do a bit of a dance to see what was going to happen. Now, what's interesting is that Lockheed Martin, who are a very, very high-end designer, supplier, a corporate entity for military technology, have been put a call out for workers, subcontractors to go to Antarctica. Now that's really important because they are looking to start to take apart certain pieces of equipment they found, and Lockheed Martin have got the contract to start removing exotic technologies from Antarctica and bring them back to America. Now that's really important because it means the Russians have agreed to let the Americans do that. And that's only because Putin and Trump at least have a dialogue where they would never have done with the previous administration. So Lockheed Martin are looking for contractors to go to Antarctica. That's a really important point. About Antarctica, the British newspapers, which are at the moment leading the forefront for disclosure, ran an article on Antarctica saying, look, what is this thing that's been found in Antarctica? It's appeared on Google Earth. NASA have taken pictures, and it appears to be, some people call it a pyramid, some people call it a big disc. And the half-heartedly or half-humorously, the Mail ran the article, is there a big city under Antarctica? So I just wanted to, you know, perhaps give some background to that. A very long time ago, a very large alien spacecraft made a forced landing in what is Antarctica. The reason it landed there was because the technology that is based in Antarctica was already ancient at the time this spacecraft made the forced landing. They had to cannibalize the alien spacecraft and because it couldn't take off, and then to start to build, I'll use the word loosely, to build a city around the spacecraft. So the core of the ship was used for the power source, or the hardware, but then all the other bits were built around it. So what's actually being shown, it must be at least, must be a mile under the ice, but what's showing up is this structure, which is the original spacecraft and the associated structures that come from that. So that's what's being got at. And the hard thing was to be able to get down to it to start lifting the technologies out. And that's what Lockheed Martin's been contracted to do. Now, if anybody sticks their resume or their CV into Lockheed Martin, they're not likely to get a job there. There will be people who already have contracts with the military. So that's one thing. The other one I'll talk about, because it's going to be all over the place today, there's so much happening. Part of America did get a bit deluged with the Orville Dam, which is in California. Heck, you know, they need a bit of rain in parts of California, but they got a load of water when the dam went. Well, California, of course, is always associated with the gold rush, and there's huge amounts of water stripped away the surface rock, and lo and behold, they found gold. So there's a mini gold rush in California now. And somebody who I know very well, we're having a little chat, and it actually reminded me that this dam is called the Orville, or the Oville Dam, depending on how you pronounce it, the Orville Dam. And originally, Orville was called like Opry City, like the Opry Winter Show, the Opry City, which, to be honest, is named after the one of the lost ports. We say there was more than one, but the major lost port of Solomon. There were two ports, but one was the major one that took the big ships in. And the land of Opry is the biblical El Dorado. Well, that's a really interesting synchronicity there. So gold is being found in the new El Dorado, and I think that's really interesting. Silver has taken a massive hit. Now, I did write it down because I couldn't remember it. Yeah, silver was trading, I'm afraid this is all in pounds, so the American audience is going to have to get their calculators out. Silver was trading at about £15 an ounce, and literally within a few hours it dropped to £14 an ounce. Now, for people who don't know about precious metals, they may say, well, it's only a pound, but actually that's a huge drop. It's a massive drop. So silver has dropped tremendously. Gold's trading at about £1,000 an ounce, and platinum's about 800, about 820, £830 an ounce. So although silver, of course, is the weak metal, its drop is very significant, because gold and platinum did not drop. Silver dropped. And we'll perhaps look at that a bit later. Another thing I want to talk about was the radiation. There's been a lot of independent people who've posted on YouTube picking up lots of radiation spikes with their Geiger counters over parts of America. And they were very concerned that the chemtrails were now containing radiation. That's not what's happened. I wanted to reassure people that, as far as I'm aware, the evils are not doing that. This is an iodine or an iodine-based material. I guess in the atmosphere, when it rains, it comes down. And my information is that there's been a nuclear explosion on a nuclear submarine somewhere off the coast of Sweden, something like that. And that has come over. So it is a nuclear accident. It's an accident. It's not a sabotage. There's been an accident to a nuclear-powered submarine. I don't know whether it's American or Russian, but that is responsible for the high spikes of radiation over some American cities. So you are not being poisoned with radiation deliberately. That's what that is. So that, I hope, helps a little bit. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the financial situation. The Teamsters are a very big trade union in the United States of America. Their major fund is on the brink of going down. And anybody who is part of that will know what I'm saying. They were restricted to taking only about $300 out a day. The cash machines went down. They are nearly bankrupt. So that's very serious. We'll have to see what happens there. And yet, on the other hand, in this crazy world, the kids all use an app for their phone called Snapchat, and you send a picture to your friends and you can customize it with graphics and stuff. And it hasn't made a penny profit. Snapchat hasn't made a penny profit, but it's valued at $20 billion. This is the insanity on this planet. So they floated it on the stock exchange and it realized something like $300 million in a short period of time. And yet this is a product that has never sold anything. Well, this is how the people's psyche, the minds are, will go with something even when it's just a pack of cards. And that's, these are the people who are making the huge financial decisions for this planet, and that's what's so wrong. Talking about now, 15th of March is a general election in Holland. Kurt Wilders, the right-wing candidate, looks like he could win the election. If Kurt Wilders wins the Dutch election on the 15th of March, and he can form a government, that's the key point. If he can form a government, I can tell you that Holland is coming out of the European Union. Now, I was not wrong with Brexit, I was not wrong with Donald Trump, and I won't be wrong with this. The only point is whether he can form a government. The way that countries that have a sort of proportional referendum system, it's not like one person, one vote. It's a very complicated system, and some countries have it and some countries don't. But it means that you could be the largest party, but not be able to form a government. So it's very possible that Kurt Wilders will do very well at the election, but not be in a position to form a government. And what I'm saying is if he can form a government, he will seek to take Holland out of the European Union. Now, Holland is only a small country, and with the greatest respect to the Dutch, that don't have the huge impact that, say, Britain had when Britain left the European Union. But we've got elections in Germany and France later this year. And if the Dutch come out, that puts even more pressure on the Dutch, on the Germans and the French to also come out. So it's really hotting up. Right across the board, it's hotting up. Right, that's the end of my news now. I just need to thank people very quickly before we move on to the questions. People have donated, and it doesn't matter whether it's $1 or $30. And I just pull the top lists out. It doesn't matter. Some people here have just donated $1. It's not about how much. It's the fact that they have supported me and given me the strength to keep going. So I'm just going to quickly run off the names. First names only. Don't want to compromise anybody. Glenn, Stephen, Proctor, Michael, Christine, Missan, Ursula, Saud, Dawn, Bill, Marcus, Sanctuary, Lilibo, Ryan, Jamie, Shree, Joanne, David, Bruno, Padel, Jackie, I like this one, Etsy, Charlene, and Anjay. Anjay, that was a very helpful donation, thank you. Gerald, Ronald, Astrid, and finally Eva. So that's my thank yous. I'm just going to quickly now round off with this. Both Wynne Keach and I attended a meeting. I had made and alluded to this, a very, very important meeting. We both went to that meeting, and unfortunately, we have been asked not to go public with any of the details from that meeting. I know it was an important meeting because that morning I felt really ill, and I, on my way to meet someone, I was a passenger, I had to drive somewhere to be picked up. I considered twice pulling in and just cancelling it, and I thought, no, you can't do that, Simon, because you're in this for the long haul. You have to see it through. You've got to do this. And I was really not well. Both Wynne and I attended the meeting, and I was having to run to the loo to actually be sick. And I will say this, I was bringing up blood. But I was determined to keep coming back, being in the meeting. I did that meeting. I was very privileged to meet a most wonderful man. We got on really well. And you know what? Within 2 minutes of leaving that building, I was fine. So the attack was purely aimed at me at that meeting, and I was not going to crack. I was not going to give in, and I did that meeting. And I'm really proud that I didn't buckle and give up, but it was awful, horrendous. But, you know, those people who are responsible need to listen to me, and I'm not stopping. Right, the other thing I just want to quickly say is that I had an approach from somebody who makes films. No, they don't want to make a film about me. I wouldn't be interested in that. But they are very keen to do something like The Matrix. They want to make a film that is a blockbuster and exciting, but has a lot of truth to it. They want to try to bring truth out there. And I've been asked in a very small and humble way whether some ideas could be bounced off me, whether they are actually rooted in truth. So the person has got an outline, a plan, but they want to try to bring disclosure through this film, and they're asking me, would I be prepared to, you know, assist them? And I've said yes to that. All right, so there was a shed load of stuff to say today. I'm sorry to have taken people's time.
That's fine.
But anyway, thank you very much. Let's get on with the questions, eh?
Yes, indeed. Well, you remember last week I was having a bit of trouble getting the questions, and something in the website kind of got a bit, let me say, constipated, let's say. And so I've had to, I've replaced the mechanism by which you make a question. And so the behavior is slightly different. When you hit the send question button, you come back to the chat room. That's normal. It's fine. Thank you for everybody who's attended. There we go. I think something just happened on my screen. I think the listener report server has crashed. Anyway, meanwhile, everything's good. We're all good. Well. So, Simon, we have a nice, huge pile of questions today. I mean, it's massive. Ever since I started, so I have a very now. Where's that? All right, okay. So starting early with Sonia from Germany. Hello, Simon and JP. From a spiritual point of view, what is the reason for the birth of identical twins, and how are their souls related to each other? And what could be the reason for one twin being born dead and the other twin surviving? Thank you.
Right. Well, obviously, the last part of that question is very sad. when not to be confused with a twin flame or soulmate, when one, for want of a better word, one entity decides that it wishes to experience separately. In other words, not in all cases, but in many cases, one living creature wishes to become male and female, but wishes to divide, or at least wishes to divide. So you could be two females or two males, because the will or the intent to do something is so great that it needs two physical outlets, two methods to do that. So a twins are often the same soul that is divided. And I don't go for all the doctor's biology. That, as far as I'm concerned, is why they look identical, why they act identical, not in all cases, but in many cases, why they are telepathic. And unfortunately, that is why the evil people go for twins, and from MK Ultra, through the Masonics, through the Satanists, have always targeted twins, because twins will have something that others don't have, which is this psychic connection with each other, which means they've developed the psychic gifts very early, and then they're abducted and taken onto military programs. They use their psychic abilities elsewhere. Now then, the hard question actually is, why does one die and one doesn't. I haven't seen any statistics, so I don't know what the proportion of one twin dying is in relation to deaths per live births. You know, where a mother has, you know, more than one child, but they're not twins. So I don't know whether that's more than normal or normal or less. What I can say is that when energies are contained, they can be sometimes so huge that something can go wrong. Also, if souls are going to incarnate on the planet to do a job of work, and something alerts something, I can only just say that, that there is a trap or there's something going to happen, then that can happen. And obviously there's also the standard biological reason that there may be a biological disease or something wrong why the mother can't have that. So I don't know whether the loss of a twin is above average or below average, because I haven't seen the statistics. So that's a bit difficult for me to answer. But I hope the first part of the answer was a good one for you. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. So, question from Pam at Pam. The question, dear Simon, can you tell us who is in control of WikiLeaks now and where is Julian Assange?
Right. The American intelligence is in charge of WikiLeaks. Not the Russians, not Julian Assange, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you view it. No, it is the American intelligence network. But oddly enough, it is an element of the NSA and the CIA who are electronically controlling it. Remember that the NSA have the computing power to do anything over the planet. So you couldn't really do anything unless the NSA were behind you or supporting you. So from the electronic standpoint, it is the NSA. From the controlling part, it splits. Part of the CIA was against WikiLeaks because they were acting under orders of Clinton. And another group of the CIA were supporting the FBI. For the listeners who perhaps haven't caught it, one member of the CIA and one member of the FBI both referred to Hillary Clinton as the Antichrist. Now, that's a fact. That's been reported in the established newspapers. Now, that means that there were sizable groups in both the FBI and the CIA who were dead against the Clintons. Now, when you add that to the NSA's electronic assistance, we know that the leaks that were coming out from WikiLeaks were nothing to do with the Russians. They were actually the American intelligence agencies working against Hillary Clinton because they considered her the Antichrist. So, you know, it may be that Donald Trump is not your favorite dinner, but compared to what else was on the table at the time, you know, thank goodness the American people went for the dinner that was the most acceptable. So WikiLeaks is controlled by the American intelligence. Thank you. It's a good question.
Yes, indeed. A good question. So next up we have... Now, this is a very interesting question. Again, we got a lot of questions today about birth and soul. It is very interesting. Now, this is... Relax, have a cup of tea. Here's a long one. Hello, JP Simon and the Awake community. My question is, this is from Colts, C-O-L-T-S, Colts. My question is, you have said that every soul is scanned before birth. Celebrities are abducting babies from all over the world instead of having their own. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, are they all victims of contamination, therefore they can't reproduce? Or are they being given information about these kids that nobody knows about? For example, their bloodlines might be of significance, so maybe higher powers are placing these children in the care of some of their puppets, celebrities, to keep them safe from public until they're aged to be used. Also, can you post or tell us of somebody that reads people how you are able to? I'm in need of a reading, and I know you're busy, and that you have also read me once before, and I know that others need your help as well. It's just, I feel I'm being attacked and need credible help. Thank you for your love, Simon. When I get down, which is pretty often, your picture lifts me up. Love and light, energy to you all. So, celebrity children, Simon.
Well, thank you. What a very kind thing to say, thank you. And at least you've had one reading. There are people out there who haven't. But on the positive side, lots of people are now being written to on the waiting list. People are actually getting readings, and it's working. We're getting through them. Was that a very muted cheer?
That was a very quick cheer.
Well, that's good. Right. Okay. I would be very, very concerned about, in general, Hollywood stars adopting children who were special. I would be very concerned about that, because I really don't want them to end up doing the sort of films that Lady Gaga does. So I don't believe for one moment that Hollywood stars adopt children because they think they're special and they want to protect them. I think there's a possibility that the elite, and let me make it clear that not everybody in Hollywood is bad. As a film producer said to me, it's a huge machine, but there are many of us who are fighting for good. So I'll just put that caveat in. But nevertheless, this huge machine might well get somebody in that industry to adopt a child because they want access to that child. So very cautious about that. Much more likely that when these individuals are identified from the ages about 5, you know, you are going to become a superstar. We're going to take you at the age of 5 and put you in the Mickey Mouse Club and completely brainwash you, do all these things to you. So you're going to go on stage and sing whatever song we give you, and you'll have an alternate personality, and that personality will come out on stage and do whatever we want, and you won't argue with us. And through the processes of that, many of those people are so traumatized by what was done to them that they can't actually think about having children in birth, but they can go out and adopt them. Now, I'm not saying that's all the cases, but in many cases, that is the process. Many people in that industry feel that they are tainted or their genetics are damaged, and they feel that if they have a child, then whatever happened to them may happen to their children. And they, in the name of God, don't want that to happen to their children, what happened to them. So by adopting, the bloodline is broken, it's changed, it's got nothing to do with them biologically. Therefore, they know that whatever happened to them will not happen to those children. And there are other cases where the female cannot have a child for whatever reason, so they adopt. So that's the question there. Was there anything else with that?
No, I think that's about it for that. Okay. One. There are more questions about birth later. It is a very interesting subject.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the aforementioned friend, a mutual friend of ours, Wynn. Dear Simon, can you give an update on Wynn's barter application, and can we donate to the project? This is from Miriam.
Right. Right. We had a plan, Wynn and I, but the elites have tried to thwart us from raising up the right sort of capital for it. Okay. So what we've done is we've come up with a reduced plan. And we got some funding from some individuals, but what we're going to do is go and crowdsource it. Two reasons for that. One reason is that it means that individuals can actually have a share in this thing. And secondly, it's very difficult for the elite to target thousands of people. If everybody puts a pound or a dollar in, and there's thousands of people that do that, they can't do that. But if there's one investor, then they can easily sit on that investor and frighten that investor off. But they can't do it if it's crowdsourcing. So we are definitely going to go down the crowdsourcing route. As soon as that's up and running, we'll have a promotional video. explaining what it is and what the benefits are for people who donate, then I will on this radio show tell everyone it's gone live. There'll also be, I suppose, Wynne will go around and do his thing, but we will advertise that. So yes, there will be a real opportunity for people to get behind a project that, if it can get off the ground, will absolutely change for the better the course of history on this planet. Now that, of course, sounds a huge thing to say. And now I haven't been on the gin or the bourbon. This really has the opportunity. And the problem for the elite is that half of them want it to go ahead and half of them don't, the usual story. The reason they want it to go ahead is if the economy crashes, ordinary people and small businesses would be able to use this cell phone, mobile phone app to actually survive and to keep going. The only people who don't want what Wynne and I are developing are the corporations. They're not interested. They see it as a threat. But individual people, small little businesses, this is a lifesaver for them. We're not going to go on too much about it, but basically, yes, we're going to go down the crowdfunding route. I hope that people will get behind us and we'll support it. And I think when people understand what it can do, then I think that they will say, my goodness me, this is what we need. So yeah, thank you very much indeed. We are struggling. We really are. Of course we are. You know what? If this was another trick by the evil people, if we were all part of that, we'd already have the money. They'd give us the money and we'd be up and doing it because we would just be doing what they wanted. The fact is we are trying to set humanity free, and because of that, they are coming down on us like a ton of bricks. Hence why I was really hammered at that meeting. But, you know, Wynne is as tough as I am, we will see this through. So it's a great question.
That's right. Thank you. We're all walking through the fire like Terminator. You know, it may burn us, but we can survive. I'm going to have Wynne on the my show next Sunday, and we're going to go a bit more deeply into, you know, how we can all do this. I had a chat with him the other day, and he told me about some of the details of how the thing works, and it's just fabulous. I was going, yep, that's what I want. Yep, I've been wanting that. Yep, I want that. You know, because I've been thinking, you know, I live in a barter system here in Scotland. And so we've been living it. So I know what's wrong with it, and I know what's right with it, and I know what works, and I know what doesn't. Wynne just ticked all the right boxes, I have to say. So fabulous answer. Thanks,
it's been months. I mean, Wynne and I have put our heads together for months. I mean, I'm talking months. So we've got something now which works. So yeah, he'll give it, you know, he is the creator behind this. Yeah. I only support him. So he is the right man to lead it at the head.
We'll do some fleshing out next Sunday. So next question from Bella. Reptilians. Dear Simon, this is a good question. Can you please explain the difference between Draco reptilians, Raptoids, Raptors, Elohim, Nephilim, Anunnaki, and others? Some are hybrids, some are Dracos, what's the deal? What's the percentage? And, you know, what can we expect to be abducted by of an evening?
Right. Well, welcome to the fancy dress party, because that's probably the best way. Would be a visual way. I think the best thing actually, and I'm being quite serious, is if we can get, I don't want to call it a rogues gallery, that really wouldn't be very fair. But if we can get some pictures, some artwork, and stick it on your website or something, with the names underneath it, that will give people a very clear physical representation. I'm not going to go through all of them because we've got loads of questions
Interesting, last night I've been editing Alex Collier's latest webinar. And during that, because we lost the picture, so I had to gather loads of questions. And one picture that I did get, and I'm just going to share my screen with you just for a second, is this. And then I can, if you like this one, I can put it in the chat room.
Okay.
No, you don't have to turn your camera on. You don't have to turn your camera.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So I'm just going to share that screen with you. This is a photo. Well, it's not a photo. It's a drawing. Tailless reptoid, a Draco, and what looks like some form of grey. So can I throw this in the chat room for you to illustrate around?
Yes, you can. It'd be absolutely excellent.
Fab. Okay. So on you go. And by the time it's there, they'll know.
I'll talk to the picture because please. That's what people will say. Hello.
Did I change it?
There we go. No, it's just everything else is. I'm looking at eBay now. You've bought something on eBay.
How dare you
buy anything?
I need to get this from the. I need to get this into the chat room. Give me a moment, and then we can. I'll put it back on.
I don't need to listen. Listen, yeah, I don't
you know what they look like. Just,
only joking. The tailless reptoid. Remember that when we see drawings, everyone's perception is different. It doesn't mean that the person is wrong. What it means is that their take on what they saw is what they saw. We have to always be careful that we are not having false images placed into our mind. But that said, the tailless reptoid is a non-royal reptilian. The drawing that you've put up there does not look to me like the soldier rep that I understand. What you look as if you've got there is a native reptilian. Now, shocking as it may be, there is a native group of reptilians that live under the earth. They are fairly benign to humanity. They do not come onto the surface. And if humans go down, they are sometimes killed or sometimes just thrown back out again. But it is a we wish to be left alone type of environment. The reason I'm saying that looks to me like that one, because this is much more human-like. The thin waist, the type of the arms, the legs are all very, very sort of humanoid, which means they've grown up under the same gravity as we have. And that's to bear that in mind. The Draco, that is not my representation of a Draco. For me, that is not accurate. A Draco is a royal reptilian. So first of all, the colour's wrong. Dracos are white. That's why we have racism on this planet. That is why when the first Adamu were designed and created, they were black-skinned and they dug the gold out of South Africa. The second group of Adamu, who worked in the proverbial Garden of Eden, were white-skinned because the High Lord King, Anu, was not prepared to have black-skinned creatures around him because he was a white-skinned. This is where we get the racism from. So the colouring on the Draco is wrong. First of all, the skin should be white. And it appears to have a cape. I have never seen Anu or any of his children as Enli or Enki, and they, of course, have children. I have never seen them wear a cape like that. It looks like a Batman-type cape, but that's just not right for me. First of all, it appears to have two white horns. I think that's a misrepresentation. I can understand why someone thinks that. In fact, it's ridges, it's bone ridges that come above the eyes and sweep around the back of the head, but they look like horns, but they're not. The other thing that's missing here is wings. Draco are royal. They have residual wings. They're not wings like a bat. They are look like spikes, that spines that come out the back because they're residual. They can't fly with them, but in ceremonies they can move them, and in the ritual of the ceremonies that means things. Now the other thing, Dan, is if you look down to his groin, it appears to have male genitals. This is wrong. They are kept behind a flap of skin. So there's no bulge there. If you look at the drawing, there appears to be a bulge. That's not the case. They are kept literally behind a flap of skin. The other thing here that's incorrect with both these really is particularly the Draco, is the knees are on the wrong way. Draconis reptilians' knees are reversed. So you know, we have a knee, obviously, and we bend. Theirs is the other way around, so their leg walk bends outwards. That's why they walk very differently. So either the person has just...
Hey, give me a second.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Right. Sorry, I opened the mic. They walk like chickens then?
I don't remember how chickens walk. I've never seen a chicken.
They have a backwards knee like that, yeah.
Well, I didn't think about it. Seems normal to me. Well, think, where did chickens come from? Chickens are birds, and they are directly descended from dinosaurs. And that is officially accepted. It wasn't when I was at school, but it's now officially accepted that all birds are direct descendants of dinosaurs. That's why, of course, the chicken's leg is scaly. So that's a really good, well, that's exactly why they are like that. So the drawing isn't very good. So being very kind to the person who drew this, they must have interviewed people who were traumatized, and just, you know, couldn't see clearly, or someone just created it and thought that would be right. So that's not good. The other one is much better. This is the little, he's a little gray creature. He's hybridized between gray and alien, reptilian, hence is very green. That is highly accurate. That's highly accurate. And the other thing is, if you look at this gray's toes, it's got reptilian toes. Grays, traditional grays, do not have hands and feet like that. But this thing, which is about 75% reptilian, 25% gray, that is an accurate rendition. So whoever provided the information for that creature was spot on. So there we go. I won't go on anymore because that's too much time.
That's very interesting. Thank you, Simon. That's all right. So I'm going to stop sharing that.
Well, I've seen these things, and I'm very familiar with them. So, you know, I'm when I see it, what I consider an inaccurate representation, then I want to put it right for people.
Interesting. So in the chat room, someone says, Barney the purple dinosaur is more accurate. Maybe.
Maybe it is.
Right. So now, as a supplement, is Simon saying the Anunnaki were from Draco? We're still not clear about what is Anunnaki, and, you know, these are the reptilian overlords. Are the Anunnaki Dracos, are these the ones that are being cornered on Earth? Or do the Anunnaki ride around on Nibiru and come and visit us every 3,500 years? I'm still not clear on that.
Right. The Anunnaki are the ones that are in the firing line at the moment on the planet. Yes. It is the descendants of the Anunnaki who are the real wielders of power on planet Earth. And they are the individuals that certain organizations are trying to target and take out. So we are reading on the internet about certain people being got at. That is accurate. The Anunnaki, in the true sense of the word, arrived here about 6,000 years ago. But the term Anunnaki is a specific term for a hybridization of a group of human-like creatures and reptilian creatures. And they can trace a direct lineage back to hybridization between those of the Orion Empire and the Cirrus or Sirius Confederation. So if you think about Anu and Enlil and Enki, this was a union match between the Orion Empire and Cirrus or Sirius. That is why the Great Pyramid at Giza, the rather silly Egyptologists call the air vents, the tubes that come out the side of the shafts, I should say, that come out the side of the pyramid, they call them air vents. That is why they are aimed literally at Orion, because both Orion and Sirius were the controlling royal line families that have ruled this planet ever since. The Anunnaki arrived here after the main group of reptilians disappeared underground. When humanity reached a population level that it could no longer be overtly controlled, the reptilians did a runner and went underground and proceeded to control humanity covertly. When the Anunnaki arrived, they set themselves up above planet, and there was a power struggle in terms of who runs what and where. And in the end, the Anunnaki ran the banks, the politicians, not the military, actually. Very interesting. They found it very hard to infiltrate the military. They did it to a lesser extent. But the main elements of power on this planet, the Anunnaki went and got. But the deal was that the reptilians would oversee that. So I hope that, that's a bit more helpful for you.
Great. Pleiadian Sisters just post. Hang on, let me just show you this one, Simon. Again, posted this, what looks like a white reptilian, massive, looks like about, that's about
right.
11 feet tall.
That's, right, that's not too bad. Again, it's got a groin area.
Yeah.
That's, it's a bit over the top there. The other thing is that the chest is not muscular enough. First of all, the waist is too narrow. The chest is much more stocky, far more stocky. The arms are too human-like. That's not right. You should be able to make out scales. You would see even from this distance on this that there would be scales on there. The fingers look good. The claws look good. The face is not accurate because it's too pointy. A Draconis reptilian's face is more snub. It's not quite, that looks like it's been drawn out. That's actually, I'll be honest with you, that's more of an Anunnaki face. That is the sort of long drawn out face that the Anunnaki have. So Anu and his son's face is not as pointy. It's much more in. The wings, I like the wings because they're smaller, but they're still not accurate. They should show as spines coming out the side. So at the moment in this drawing, the wings are up by the neck. Well, you can pull his back muscles in and angle the wings out. But what that would show would be spines or spikes. That is much better. And the wings are too high. They should be lower. The spikes should come down to the waist. Can't see the feet. The knees are wrong. Everybody draws these things like humans. That tells me that whoever's created that has not really understood what they're looking at. You know, we only understand knees the way they are. That's not accurate. And also, he seems to have feet like the devil, you know, like long ankles. That's totally inaccurate.
Yeah.
But the hands are accurate and the face isn't too bad. The eyes are wrong. That is, they've got yellow. They should be red. The eyes are red with a stripe down the middle. But other than that, you know, it's not a bad go.
Right. Well, if any artist in the chat room would like to send us some more accurate representation, it's really good to get to know it because there used to be a thing about them not being able to be represented. Wasn't, you know, that's part yes. of our ancestry, that we never could look upon the face of the gods because exactly. they were ugly reptilians. All right. Sorry. I mean, that's just my prejudice. Sorry.
Well, the thing is that also these things are now going to become, more open on the planet. We are going to start seeing these things more openly now. So it's not a bad thing just to say, look, let's get people identifying it so you know what you're dealing with.
Exactly. Yes, so, what's that? Oh, God. All right, so there's another picture that somebody posted with a, and hang on, let's see if I can grab.
Yeah, come on, let's have it, and then stick it on the chat.
It's very good. I love the interaction on this. There we go. I'll come here. There we go. And I'll just... All right, whoops. Right, can you see that?
Well, it looks like Toad a Turd Hall.
That looks like a snake in a jacket, in a suit.
All right. The representation.
Yeah. You know,
all right. Conan the Barbarian, another one with Arnold Schwarzenegger in the first one that set him off on his real, rise to becoming governor of California. Of course, that's what it was all about. before the days of digital technology in the civil sector, the guy playing a falsy doom morphs into a snake, and it's all like rubber models. But I would say to you that if you look at Conan the Barbarian and the way that falsy doom morphs into a snake's face, that's far more accurate than this. So if you can watch that, you'll see what it really does look like. So whoever created that had a very good idea. This is just making a representation.
Yeah, that's a Photoshop, yeah.
But yeah, but I know what they're saying. They're saying this is a snake. And that's what Putin said.
Mm.
Putin referred to George Soros as you sly old dragon, or you sly old snake.
Yeah, and he does have that look, sort of the frog that's been sitting on the rock all day in the sun look.
Yes.
Him. Yeah,
he does.
Okay, so from, all right, oh wow, now this is huge. Oh, come on. All right, this is a whole show. Actually, Simon, somebody was
getting more and more American every day.
There are more. I'm getting loads of questions. And people are asking also, we spoke a little while ago about doing a single topic show.
Yes. Still waiting for you to come up with it.
Yes. Much like we did in our first interview where I was quizzing you about the Glocker and things like that. So that was,
yeah.
So let's arrange some of those, for some time this year.
That's up to you.
When it's convenient. When it's convenient to you as well. Right. Okay. Oh, right. So this is a massive, there's like about 8 questions in this. So I'm going to ask a couple of them. You asked too much. So, Martin, so I'm going to just choose one. Hey, Simon, give me a number between 1 and 6.
7.
5, 6. No, there's only 6 questions. You know,
3 and 6.
3.
Yes, okay. I know. 3 and 6.
All right. Okay, yeah. So question 3. Question regarding the coming of the Anunnaki. As Simon, Max Spears, David Icke, and others confirm that Anunnaki and their fractions are negative and also reptilian. In the Lafayette books, Anunnaki codes, Maximilian.
Let me give you another number.
Yeah. All right, it's coming to the end too. Describes and writes positively about coming the Anunnaki on the 1st of December 2022. Are Lafayette's books trustworthy or contain mistakes or disinformation to mislead humanity? So basically saying when the Anunnaki come back in 2022, it's all going to be good.
I'm not going to, I've always tried to not get involved in attacking other people. Now, I would answer it by saying the history of the Anunnaki has not been good. As far as humans are concerned, it is the direct bloodline families of the Anunnaki that control the banking sector, that control the political parts of many of the countries. So why would them coming back in a few years mean it's a good thing? There's more to this question. There is a high probability, as far as I'm concerned, of something coming back onto this planet in the near future. Now, I've never said Planet X is arriving in July and we're all going to be dead. Lots of people seem to be saying that. Or August or June, and then June comes along and then they push it for the next month, and that doesn't happen, so they give it another month, and in the end you stop listening, don't you? But I do believe that there is something that it is in the solar system on hold at the moment that will come through. And so does the Vatican. That is why people in the Vatican are absolutely terrified of this particular entity group coming back, because the Anunnaki who have been running the planet would then be answerable to this higher group. So it would not be the Anunnaki coming back. The Anunnaki are here. They are the ones running and have done since the Pharaohs and Sumeria. But it would be another group, a much more pure bloodline group, who would be coming back to say, right, we've come back after all these years. What have you done with our planet? And the Anunnaki would say, well, we've been hoarding all this money for ourselves. That is the fear that the Vatican have and others have of these people coming back. So, you know what? Let them come back in 2022, whatever it is, because by then the human race will be so strong that we'll be able to say, as we say in England, sling your hook, go. You're not welcome here. So the Anunnaki have never been good. And unless they sit round a table and tell us how they're going to be good, I wouldn't trust them if they came back tomorrow. Okay?
There we go. Okay, so thank you for that. Now, question six of your Duke Jason Ferguson. Question regarding the fly catastrophe of the Polish government, including the president and his wife, high-ranking military... Oh, the air... All right, okay. In 2010, 10th of April 2010, there was, you know, we found all the Polish government all dead in one plane, which is obviously like you shoot them, stick in a plane and crash it. is there any suspicion that it could be some negative group of people or even attack of species from the fourth density? Do you know the backstory to that one?
Well, I'm not convinced that all the Polish government was killed in an airplane.
Okay. That's it.
What I'm saying is, on this planet, one of the easiest ways to get rid of people is either in an auto crash, car crashes, or airplane crashes. And over the last, not so much this year or last year, but for the previous 3 to 4 years, we had a whole spate of airplanes, passenger airliners disappearing or crashing. We had instances of aircraft crashing and the bodies of the passengers decomposed already, where they had been dead for maybe 3 weeks and that plane had crashed. We've had groups of scientists suddenly disappear, airlines with those groups of scientists. This is nothing new. You know, think about the Titanic. When the Titanic went down, it contained bankers who were against the formation of the Federal Reserve. It actually wasn't the Titanic, it was the Titanic's sister ship. But that was a con that was done. The elite wish to get rid of obstacles in their way. They will do that. JFK was one man, and they got rid of him because he was in their way. The Titanic sister ship went down. There were bankers who were against some of the big names and certainly didn't want the Federal Reserve formed. They were got rid of. Now, members of the Polish government have been got rid of, but not the entire Polish government. Not the entire Polish government. But individuals have been got rid of. And it leads to stories of, oh, they've clones. No, it's not. It's actually a system that allows you to send a signal to every country in the world that unless you do what we want, we have the power to basically take you out. And lots of these false flag are not to traumatize the public. This is misunderstood. They're there to put pressure on the government that terrorist attack takes place in. And the biggest example is Australia. There was an attack in Australia. There's an attack in Pakistan. There's an attack in India. It is to put pressure on the government and say, this is what we can do in a parliament building or a university. If you don't want this on your doorstep every other week, then you do what we want you to do. Sometimes the terrorist attacks are to destabilize the people. So, you know, we want to blame the Muslims or blame this group or that group. That's to bring that hatred and fear up. But most false flags are to put pressure on government. So the reason I reacted, it was not the entire Polish government. I mean, I know Poland's not as great because Great Britain, but the government of Britain is hundreds of people. Hundreds. You can't, it's not just the Prime Minister and someone else. A government is hundreds of people, and hundreds of people in Poland weren't killed.
All right, no, that was just my kind of summarised it in saying
right,
all
I'm,
of those.
I'm very,
that wasn't the question. So
right, I'm very literal, And if whatever's read out to me, I will respond to whatever's read out to me.
Okay, so listen, I want to read something out to you, Simon, because this is a question. It's not really a question, but may I please share? This is his name is in fact John Barry, which is the name of one of the orchestra leaders from the 1960s who did the Danger Man theme. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, this is not about that either. I just, it's a kind of, like, I'm going to put a piece of music on after this, but, just listen to this. I'm a regular listener to this broadcast, and when I can't listen to it live, I will listen to the recording on YouTube. I notice sometimes that some people put very negative things about Simon in the comments section. Even though I understand that people have the right to their opinion, I find that some people go as low as to really insult Simon and accuse him of all sorts. I find these people to be like cyber fishermen or trolls. I've followed Simon's work for about 2 years now, and I always had a good feeling he was a nice and genuine person, and this was confirmed when I had my consultation with Simon in July 2016. During that 30-minute session, we got talking about what I liked to do as a child. I explained that I liked to play with radios and that I had a fascination with them from the age of 18 months till I was about 6. The next thing Simon then said to me was, "Yes, and it's nice to look at the inside of them and see all the components, isn't it?" I was surprised when Simon said that to me. He actually knew, without me having to say anything about it, that I liked to take radios apart back then, just so I could see what the inside looked like. If Simon based his readings on, quote, educated guesses, unquote, he would have said something like, "Yes, and you liked to throw those radios about, didn't you?" And as this is what most toddlers do when you give them something, bless them. The point of me sharing this story is that I can assure all the cyber fishermen, trolls, out there that Simon knows what he's talking about, and if what Simon or anyone else in the alternative media says doesn't resonate with you, then please find something that does, and don't waste time writing horrible things about people you seem to know very little about. Thank you, Simon, JP, and all the listeners. Be blessed.
Well, that's very kind. I have to be very honest and say I don't remember that particular gentleman, which is a shame. I don't remember everything like that. You know, I do have a psychic gift, a psychic ability, and I use it. I think that the creator of Danger Man was something like Edmund or Eamon Astley.
Edmund Astley.
That's Astley.
He may even be related to Rick Astley. You never know.
Right.
Rick Astley is the famous, "You're never gonna give you up" kind of guy. Anyhow.
Cup of tea time.
And I pulled out this one. Do you remember Dire Straits from the 1970s? Sultans of Swing.
Oh, lovely.
Okay, we're back. Sorry, Simon. I just gave you a big blast of feedback there during the time before my amplifier switched off and the microphone cut in. There we go. Well, there was Sultans of Swing from Dire Straits. Any insights over your tea making?
Yes.
Good.
Somebody's just sent me a very helpful message saying that the White Draco, that we have the graphic there, which is in that building, looking down on that guy, was from Corey Good. And I like, if people have got any time, there's a very recent interview with Corey Good. And there seems to be a disagreement occur with the panel. I haven't seen it. I've only have been told it by three different people who've said that Corey Good was saying that he thought that disclosure should be over a 10-year period. And other members of the panel were sort of up in arms saying, no, disclosure should be now. So I'd like people to have a look at that. If that is Corey Good's drawing, then it's not very accurate. So I'm just surprised. I mean, it may not be Corey Good. That's what someone's just sent me a message saying. I think that's from his website.
All right. Oh, you know what it looks like? It looks like something out of a video game. So it may be somebody's impression that has come out of a video game. Yeah.
Could be, yeah. But I want people to check this out, because I want to be absolutely clear. My standpoint is that the human race is ready for disclosure now. I would never, ever, ever sign up to any program that said you can have disclosure in 10 years' time. We should have had it yesterday. I want that to be very clear, because I have it very personally because my grandfather always used to say that the people weren't capable of making any decisions and only the elite could make decisions for the people. And I don't accept that. I think that we need to give people much more respect and a lot more trust that they can cope with it. So as far as I'm concerned, and that was one of the meetings, and when I was hammered like, I could say the word, hammered like hell, that was a meeting to talk about disclosure. And I know for a fact that it is a very, very hot topic at the moment. And I am absolutely adamant that disclosure should be like now. So if other people in the alternative industry are saying, look, you know, we need to do it over 10 years, that's wrong. Anyway, that's just me on my high horse. Let's get on with it.
Get down. All right. All right. This is a good one. This is about a dream of reptilians. Okay, so again, this is a story. Let me just see. Right, okay, so about 6 months ago, I began having 1 to 2 days per week where I don't eat meat. However, I noticed that I get strange dreams on the days where I don't eat meat. I had a dream where I was in a valley with other people. We worshipped reptilian gods that created us. However, I realized that they were not gods at all and that they had deceived us into servitude. I was on my way to tell the others about it when suddenly a great reptilian in a purple robe appears before me. "Why have you betrayed us?" he asked me. I don't remember the rest of the conversation, but I ended up being thrown out of that valley. I've had multiple dreams like this, and they all happen on days where I don't eat meat. I have begun writing down the dreams on documents on my computer. Can you please explain why I may be getting these dreams? Also waiting for this is from Denmark, waiting for a response from your website. She wants an appointment. Yeah.
It sounds remarkably like Adam and Eve being thrown out of Eden.
Doesn't it?
And there will be soul fragments in many people who will be able to share some of those insights. It's not just one Adam and one Eve. Although there is one major Adam and one major Eve, there are many, many people that have soul fragments. It's like, you know, someone says, "I'm King Arthur," and then someone else says, "I'm King Arthur." Well, actually, there are many, many soul fragments that will be King Arthur. There are many, many soul fragments of many people. I think, without seeing a photograph, I would really need to see a photograph of the guy. If a person contains a sizable proportion of a reptilian soul, then that is rebelling when the physical body is not given meat. And the dreams that are occurring are either, depending on the message you take from it, either to try to force you back into eating meat, or it's more positive, actually, and it's saying you're right to give up meat because this is what it's all about. This is the control element, and if you give up meat, then you will be free because the dream is about being free. That's what we've been told here. This dream is about being free. Yes, you are being expelled, but that is freedom. And so if you're not eating meat, you are becoming free. I think that's your higher self sending you a message. So positive. I'm sorry that you haven't got through. Please send another email because we are picking up now all of the new emails that arrive and we are going back through the old ones. So it's worth your while pushing in again. Thank you.
Fabulous. I don't think people really understand how much work it takes, how much time it takes to sort through emails. Each one takes maybe half an hour, and you have, I could imagine, thousands. I mean, go on.
I've got someone who's come over from America. I'm not going to say who they are. They've come over to America. They're staying in Whippy at the moment. They want to do a very short interview, and they've actually said they would be very interested in doing like a synopsis of a day in the life of me. And at first I thought, no, I don't want anything to do with that because that's just like, I'm not into it. But I thought actually it would give people an indication of what happens. First of all, from the email point of view, when somebody sends an email saying I'd like an appointment, An email goes back saying, yeah, okay, fine, and an appointment time given. Now, if that person's in California, then that's sort of 7, 8, 9 hours difference. So first of all, there's a problem. So no, that doesn't work for me. So another email comes back. Okay, well, how about this? What day can you do? This is the slot we've got available. So one person may take 3 emails to get booked. You know, I get a lot of emails, and I'm really glad to do from one perspective, but I'm not a big machine. I'm not lots and lots of people. I'm not one of these great, you know, American, on the alternative industry who've got lots of people around them. I don't have that. I have a very small, small group of people who, really give out their love to help. But then I go to meetings and I get hit hard, or I have people who I work with who are getting psychically attacked, or they have deprogramming issues. I'm going to share something with everybody. There are no names because I protect all of my clients, but I'm going to give an example here. A number of years ago, and I will do this because I think it there's a lot of people who don't understand what I do, and I think I'll just take a couple of minutes to give one example. A number of years ago, a mother brought her child from Canada to see me because she felt that the child was going to kill herself. This young woman was 16. The very day before they arrived, this young woman stepped out in front of a police car in Canada. The police officer, who was a man, was able to stop the car in time. And then we don't have this in this country, protective custody, arrested her for her own protection because he said that she was going to do suicide by cop. Something we don't have in Britain, but I know in the States and Canada you do. So anyway, this is interesting. This is about 4 years ago. The police were ready to send her to a psychiatric secure hospital and have her assessed. And the mother shot down there and said, no, we're going to see Simon Parks in Britain. And lo and behold, they let the girl out to come and see me.
Wow.
Now that is amazing. So they just let her, and I'm not a doctor. I've never said I'm a doctor. But let her out. They flew over from Canada to see me. And I did what I needed to do. Now, sometime later, about 2 weeks later, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning British time. 2 o'clock in the morning. And I don't normally do that unless I'm a bit peckish. But I woke up at 2 o'clock. I thought, what's this about? Wasn't hungry. Went downstairs, made a cup of tea. And 15 minutes later, a text came through. I always keep the phone on because that's what I do. The text came through from this young woman, and the text said, I'm sitting by the side of the bed with a pair of scissors over my wrist. And I able to text back immediately to defuse that situation to prevent her cutting her wrists. Now, I was woken up for a particular purpose to make sure that I supported that person. And I have people like that who need that help 24/7. And that's part of what I do as well. I also work with Wynn to try to change the planet. I also do interviews. I also do this radio show. And God help me, I try to have some sort of normal life. So I want people to understand that I'm not just someone that sits in an armchair and strokes a cat and says, oh, I think I'll go out and do this. And anyone who's listened to the radio show, here's my phone going off 20 million times to a dozen. I've actually turned it off today. But I did check it at the break time. That is the level of support. And when I set myself up to do this, I didn't realize what a vacuum there was, what a need across the Western world there was. And that's why I'm inundated. And what I'll do is I'll go through these emails and I'll say, who is desperate? Who really needs this? Whose life is at risk here? And we'll prioritize those. And I know it's really awful because if you've written to me 4 or 5 times and you want a reading and you don't get it, it's either because that email never got to me, there's a lot of that, or I've literally had to prioritize someone who's like, you know, really serious. So I want people to try to understand that this isn't a game. It's not a joke. This is something that I really do. And of course, I don't get any help from the profession because if you were to teach mind control deprogramming, then you are giving the keys to undo what the elite do. And that's why universities and hospitals don't really understand what's going on, because it's not in the elite's interest to share that with them. Otherwise, MK Ultra wouldn't work. All the other mind programs that go on in Hollywood wouldn't work. All the super soldier programs wouldn't work, because every general practitioner, every nurse in every medical profession would immediately identify, oh, this is a super soldier. Oh, we need to help this person. Okay? When Max Spears got murdered by Aquino, I've said it now, haven't I? You know, the establishment wouldn't accept it, because they don't understand it. They deliberately don't understand it because they're not funded. They're not trained into doing that. I do. So I get in there and I can only do a small amount because there's just one of me. So please, people, be patient. I will try and get around to everyone as I can. And I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. It's really important that people know this. And here's the other question that I have. The work that you're doing, you know, pulling people back from the brink. Okay, so there's millions of people. There's one of you. You're going to have to start a school one day. Or start, you know, teaching people how to do it. Is that possible?
If this funding project with Win Keach can actually come through, then that is one of the things that I will do, because I want to cleanse the earth of this satanic evil energy that is used on people. Now, if this project is as successful as it bloody well should be, as we say in Great Britain, one of the things I want to do is to start a cat sanctuary, because I love cats. I want to build the Simon Parks cat sanctuary, but I also want to do things for humans. And one of those things would be to, I'm not going to call it Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Not a human sanctuary.
Well, we could have that, couldn't we? But I want to have a place where people who do Reiki or do all of the others, that there is another discipline where they can learn how to deprogram somebody who has been through a satanic ritual abuse and had mind control programs, who's had suicide programs put into them, and have a range of alternate personalities. I mean, one of the most interesting cases I had was last year, where a person had 15 alternate personalities and was able to draw each one for me. And then over a period of time, were able to reabsorb those personalities back into the core. So, this is a huge, interesting, challenging work, and I'd be absolutely delighted to do that, but it takes money. That's what it needs on this planet. It needs money to make change. There are loads of people out there who have the psychic ability, the love of humanity to do it, but they need a job. They need to be paid, because if you're head librarian, or you know, you work in the local government building, whatever it will be, to do this you'd have to do it properly full time. You'd have to be paid for it. So if I can get the funding with part of the money I get from it, I would set up things like this, and then I would have a holiday.
Somewhere warm or somewhere like mountainous or fossily.
I would sit at home and just think, do you know what? I just don't need to worry for a bit. I can just sit at home, and I just don't need to be on my guard, ready for action. I can just relax for a bit. And that for me is a holiday. That just knowing that, you know, I can just take my eye off the ball for a bit.
Yeah.
And that would be lovely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that isn't the time yet.
No.
That isn't the time yet.
I also am looking for people to do the same thing with radio, because I think this medium, internet radio, is something that is very special. And it's the key, because people are so close to the person doing the talking. They can ask, you know, almost have a conversation with them. So, moving on to our lovely friend, Fran Derbyshire. Ancient gods and their accessories. Dear Simon, it would be great to know your understanding of an aspect of scores of ancient cultures, some of which are Sumerian, Babylonian, Etruscan, Armenian, Syrian, Mexican, Indonesian, Chinese, Egyptian, and lately in Göbekli Tepe. Those little handbags carried by the gods and elders depicted in carvings has caused much inconclusive debate and guesswork. Please enlighten us as to what they are and why are they depicted worldwide. Thank you for JP and Simon for this great show. Thank you for your sincerity in spreading the truth. And this, again, is personally one of my what-the-hell questions is, because they also have a watch thing, something that's on their wrist that looks like a watch with 12 segments.
Yes. I'm going to draw attention to the watch. The Assyrians, particular, and the Sumerians depict this watch. It's particularly shown on the fish god, where they wear a hat very much like the Pope's hat, actually, the fish head, the mitre, where by and large it comes from. Right. The it's not a watch, but for all intents and purposes, that's exactly what it looks like. A strap with a round dial on the front of it. It is interesting that when alien species are on the planet, their psychic ability is reduced over long distance. If you have a real solid 3D grey in your room, it won't have any problem in psychically connecting with you. But over a distance, they lose their power because they're in a third density. The watch device is part of a mechanism that allows psychic communication at longer distances. So it's a sort of mobile phone, but you don't talk into the watch. You don't, you know, lift your wrist and talk into it. That's its main purpose. But like many things that are cleverly designed, it had other functions as well. But its main function was to boost communications for that individual. And only royalty had that. The reason for it is that technology was at an absolute premium. We talked about Antarctica, where they had to cannibalize the spacecraft to get the pieces out of it. That is why the pyramid is built out of stone, because they had to use the materials to hand and the slaves to build these things. And they had the concept because they were from another planet, but they did not have access to large amounts of advanced technology. They only had what they could salvage out of the spacecraft. The other thing is the what looks like handbags. It's very interesting because that's exactly what they look like. They're power sources. The bags are like little Ark of the Covenants. They are power sources. And they became ritualized. And so somebody who has a professorship would say that, you know, that these were symbols of their royalty or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. No, they weren't. They really did have things around their wrist and they really did carry these things in their hand because these things were so important to them that they didn't put them down because they couldn't just go back to HQ and say, oh, I've lost it, give us another one, because there isn't another one. You know, we are trapped on this planet. We've had to cannibalize out of this craft what we have, and we've only got a limited amount. So they are very precious to them, and it's very much like when the spacecraft crashed at Roswell. The greys that were not all dead were found clasping, some people call them the Orion box. I call it the Orion cube. And they were holding these cubes very close to their chest. And these cubes had the ability for time, morphing time. Now we call it a handbag that the Assyrians and other cultures had were power sources. And because of that, there wasn't unlimited power, but any device you attached to it had enough power to do something. So it was their life support system. They were literally carrying their life support system around in the bag. So I hope that's helpful to you. Good question.
Yes, indeed. Great question, because I've been wondering about this. many years. And of course, yeah, it makes sense that you'd carry your battery pack around with you and you wouldn't let go because it's the most precious thing. Do you know what the technology was? You know, how many volts they got out of that thing and what they could run with it? Or is that too technical for you?
It probably is too technical for me. But more volts than they got out of the Baghdad battery. Which still hasn't been found, still been stolen and probably in some rich banker's personal museum. It didn't work in the same sense that on this planet as we understand, and you know much more than I do, the way electricity currents were much more of a Tesla wave. The way their current works, it wasn't like AC/DC, it was a very different system. But I can probably equate it by saying, what could it power? That's probably a better way for us to understand. Right. Let me think of something that if you plugged it in, for want of a better word, it would make it go, right. It's not unlimited power. Imagine a diesel locomotive. Imagine a train with about, I don't know, 20 carriages. It would have enough to push that along and up a hill. So it's not unlimited power, but it's power that would sustain that individual if an emergency occurred. So if you used it wisely, you would have enough power to broadcast anywhere. If you had a weapon, it would charge that weapon probably for weeks. You could create a personal force field. Excuse me. You could power medical equipment, but it's not unlimited power. So I hope that helps.
Wow. So it's quite a power bank, a lot better than you can get off eBay these days. Now,
yeah,
because that's what I do. I check out how good today's technology is. And, okay. You know, a lot of these, little drones, you know, they take a battery that has to be very light. An old, your car battery, you know, that weighs a ton. You'd get 12 volts and 50 amps out of it. But with these drone battery technologies, this is lithium, and that's why they invaded Afghanistan to get all this lithium. You can get a very, very light one, that weighs like a few pounds. As opposed to like 50 pounds or maybe just a few ounces that will carry the same charge as a car battery. So we're coming towards that, but we haven't quite got to the handbag level.
It's very interesting what you said. If I may just go back.
Go ahead.
I never like to. All I'd say is it was one of the major reasons they invaded because they already knew they were going to nanotechnology and they wanted power cells that they could miniaturize over and above anything that most people can have a concept of. You're absolutely right. They wanted lithium, but it was for nanotechnology.
Well, lithium technology that's how we were able to do all this tiny battery thing.
Yes.
So we can see. Yes. Right. Okay. Now, question. Interesting name here. Pentatonic Hardcore. Very good. The question topic is the forgiveness of the New World Order. Do you feel, Simon, that a last-minute repentance of the elite will bring them into the fifth dimension with the rest of humanity and we're obligated to forgive them for the thousands of years of misery that they're responsible for?
Well, I haven't gone dead on you. I'm just trying to search my own soul.
I can hear you breathing.
Right. If somebody said, I repent, if they said, I repent and I will spend the rest of my life trying to work for good and undo some of the bad I've done, please give me the chance to do that, I would say yes. That's the difference. If someone says, I repent and then please can I go and live in my Hollywood mansion and be left alone, I'd say no, that's not what it's about. If you are truly looking for redemption, then you have to put back into society what you've been taking out. But there is an option here. There is a way out. For people who, look, Many people who do evil do so because they are blackmailed. They have done terrible things with children, and they've been filmed. And they are always told, if you don't do what we want, we're going to make it public. There are people who have been mind controlled, don't even know what they're doing. These people are victims just as much as the poor people who are being hurt directly. They're victims. What I'm interested in is the people above them, the people who press the buttons. Now, some of those people are beyond redemption as far as I'm concerned. And I had a conversation with someone about this today. However, some of them are not. And if someone's prepared to say, I am prepared to use some of my huge wealth as a huge corporate banker, blah, 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 to make good some of the harm I've done, then they should be able to do that, because everyone who's genuine about forgiveness should be able to give someone else a chance to seek that forgiveness. But when someone's just doing it as a cover to get them off the hook, no. You know, so I do believe in exopolitics. I do believe that there is a debate to be had around what is forgiveness, who is entitled to that, and frankly, who is beyond the pale. Now, if you're a really, really highly evolved being, you'd forgive everybody. And I suppose that the gift of love is to forgive that. But I would be very unwilling to forgive somebody and call it a day at that. I would say, all right, if you've told me you've tortured children, and you've done all these horrible things, and you have a personal fortune of 1 billion, what are you going to do to pay that back into society? And if they said, right, I'm going to use 75% of my 1 billion, and I'm going to build genuine hospitals, not bloody sham hospitals, real hospitals, I'm going to do this, do that, then that person is on a path to recovery. That person is on a way to coming back into the world of light, and they should be allowed to do that. But someone who says, oh, you know, just let me off the hook and I'll go and have my own life, no. So that's my answer to that. It's a very, very good question, and I really hurts me, because I should forgive everyone, but I can't. Not yet. So thank you.
It's hard to forget. It's possible to forgive. So, here's an off-planet question. Good morning from Canada, from Tamudi. Thank you for all you do. I was wondering if you can tell me anything about the planet Speaker, or Spica, S-P-I-C-A, and the ETs from there called Speakers. I have been told by someone who is able to read the Akashic Records that my soul originated from Speaker and that there are only 1,000 of us on planet Earth. What is a Speaker's purpose for coming to Earth? I was fascinated when she also told me that first I had to spend time with the Pleiadians before coming to Earth. Ah, that rings a bell. I recall you two had stated that many souls will do this to prepare for incarnation on Earth. I'd never heard of Speaker until I'd had this reading and wanted to hear your thoughts. Also, any updates on Antarctica? Thank you, lots of love. Teresa, thank you.
I've done the Antarctica bit.
Yeah.
Now, oddly enough, I am familiar with that. The Speaker, I would call it. That's how I would refer to it. Thank but you. I think we're talking the same things. So I am familiar with the terminology. I have never met somebody from that soul group. I know very little about it, but in talking to other non-human entities, that term has been used. And all I know, and it'll be very interesting, is that usually they inhabit very tall, thin bodies. Now, if our speaker is round, plump, and very rotund, then I'm off the mark here. But if the questioner is quite a tall, slim person, then that would fit the pattern that I'm aware of. I have no knowledge on only 1,000. I do not know why any race would limit to 1,000. That does not make sense to me. That's not how it works. Unless there was some deal that only 1,000 could be here at any one time, and when one leaves the planet, another one comes on. But that, I've not heard of that with anyone else. All I can tell you is that they're not warlike, so the individual is not warlike. They're very analytical. tend to think things through, question things a lot. Don't like the limelight. That's all I know about that particular group. I know nothing more. But, hey, it's a good question.
Yeah, it's always good to get new members of the family.
Yes.
I've been creating a series of clubs online, www.pleiadian.club, www.lyran.club, etc. To gather the clans. It's time to gather the clans. So, meanwhile, from Marcia, money spell. Dear Simon, a while back you mentioned that money had had a spell put on it. Could you say more about that, and do you have any words of wisdom for dispelling it? Much love and appreciation both you and JP for your dedication to enlightening the human race. We do our best.
Thank you very much. What's not appreciated is that when a negative force wishes to take control of a planet, it needs a core value to control everyone. Look, the elite are just 1 or 2% of the whole population. How can 2% manage the 90-odd+% unless there is a framework that will bind, very important word in magic, will bind the subjects to the object. The object is money. And you do it by creating an energy spell which you bring in from the fourth dimension, which means that it becomes a drug to those individuals. Not, it doesn't take with everyone, but it takes with most people. And they become addicted to whatever it is that you place the spell to. Added to that, you ensure that your buildings that contain money, we call them banks, and let's call them temples, you ensure that your temples also have spells, and those temples are placed in areas of the globe that are nexus points for energy. And you can bounce evil energy from one nexus point to the next. Very interesting that in Great Britain, and there are certain places where they've removed banks, they've closed banks in certain towns, and they've taken the cash machines out because the positive energy, I'm thinking of Glastonbury as one point. Yes, I know that there's negative energy and positive energy in Glastonbury, but they're fighting. But they withdrew the banks and the cash machines for a good few months because that particular branch of bank was not making the profits for some reason that all the other banks were making. And that is because the high vibrational energy that exists in parts of Glastonbury and in other parts was affecting the spell. So what these black magicians do is, that's why Rothschild set up a pyramid in Glastonbury to hold their meetings. You try and use that good energy and turn it to bad. That's why Lyran's particularly attacked, because it's about corrupting pure energy. So when the negative energy is attacked, the first thing they do is close the bank and move it. Actually, what happened was all the high street shops said, "You're killing our business because tourists are coming here and can't get any money out of the hole in the wall," so they had to bring the damn thing back. But a spell was placed which meant that it became embodied into the consciousness and the psyche of humankind on the planet. It didn't matter what race you were, whether your money was little cowrie shells with holes in that you wore around the neck, or whether it was 50-foot stones, it didn't matter. It was the concept of I must have, this is mine. And so everything else is built on that, and you have concepts built on that. So if you can change, take away the spell, and replace it with something that is more supportive of humanity, all of the other pillars that the system has built to lean against the spell of money will have to change. And I've often said this on this radio show, you can't change the big pharmaceuticals. You can't change the way the courts work unless you change the core. That's why the spell was placed on it, because these people were incredibly clever. You know, I get cross when people, you know, try and make fun of them. They were brilliantly clever. They were crazy and evil, but they were brilliant. They were, you know, psychopathically brilliant. And they decided that if they controlled money and human race was locked into that, every other aspect would be controlled. And that's how 2% of the population can control 98% of the population, because everyone is too scared to resist, because they fear they have no money. And that's why, that's what the spell is. And the question was, how do we break that? I'll tell you how you break it. When we go for crowdsourcing, then you can find a pound or a dollar and you can support us, because that is the only way we're going to break this. If I did a group, you know, connecting consciousness meditation, we would not be strong enough to break this spell, because you have to understand this spell has been projected from off planet. It's not just linked here. It's coming in from one of the planets in the solar system. It's very, very complex. Damn good question. Thank you.
Did I ever tell you I used to build pyramids in Glastonbury?
So you're Mr. Rothschild, are you?
No, I'm the other guy. You know, I was working with the other people, the White Lodge. And
yes, I have heard of somebody who was busy at 3 o'clock in the morning running around doing things. Is that you?
Could well be. I don't know. I met my the mother of my future children then. It was very good. Okay. Anyway, So meanwhile, let's say, all right. So serious question. Missing people. This is from Gallivan, Simon Gallivan. Okay, congratulations for making this program happen. It is regularly fascinating, sometimes a little challenging, but totally unmissable. Thank you both. Okay, if credible, the FBI states that out of the 250,000 American citizens that are annually abducted or reported as missing, 30,000 are never found. This 30,000 figure represents 0.009% of the entire U.S. population. That's 0.001%. This percentage of the world population of 7.5 billion represents 1,111,000 humans abducted each year and never ever found. My question: do you believe that these missing people can be attributed to alien abduction? And if so, is the truth-seeking movement devoting enough time to discussing this phenomenon? From Simon G.
Right, how much time we got? I'm being serious.
About 13 minutes.
Okay. Right. Let me start off with this. It is now almost impossible deliberately to obtain accurate figures from any government about the number of missing children or persons. Even under freedom of information, they will refuse under the guise that they don't have that information or they can't coordinate the agencies. Up to about 5 or 6 years ago, you could legitimately get this from most governments, but many governments will not give you this. What's very, very telling is that the number of missing children specifically seems to be around the same percentage whether it is America, Canada, Australia, or Great Britain. It is absolutely uncanny that the number missing is consistent in those countries. Now, why is that when the culture of those countries is remarkably different? No, this is not alien abduction. It is a combination of human military abduction and here's the bit that's very difficult. For experimentation. So numbers of children are taken and told, your family are dead and we are going to start you a new life on Mars or the moon or somewhere like that. That's why that film Iron Sky, which I hope most people have seen now, was banned in Great Britain. When Iron Sky was released, it was not allowed to be shown in Britain, and the only way they got it, for people who don't know, in the River Thames divides London in half, the city of London. And we have a south bank, which is the south bank of the River Thames, and there's lots of fairs and craft shops. It's quite a vibrant, up and coming place. Has been for a number of years. And there was an alternative cinema that said it was going to screen Iron Sky for a week. It was sold out completely. It only showed 1.5 days before it came under pressure to close. But, of course, what was happening was people were posting clips on the, on YouTube. You could buy it from another country and have it posted in, so they had to release it, and it became quite a success. And for those who haven't seen it, it's about the Germans creating flying saucers, and at the end of the Second World War, they don't go to Antarctica in the film, they go to the moon. And it's just got full of kids, lots of children, schools, etc., and it just shows the life on there. It was too close to the truth, and that's why they tried to stop it. Children and adults are abducted regularly from nearly every country, specifically because those children are taken off planet, and a number are given over as food. Remember that children are considered I don't know what the word is here. They prefer children to adults. And that is why those figures are so accurate. And so many people who have gone and researched this absolutely accurately have ended up dead. Either as a, you know, suicide, apparently, or a heart attack. And time and time again, that's happened. And what I think is quite shocking is that nearly every major Western country has a specific unit targeted to recovering dead children. And what they say is paedophilia or what have you. And in this country, and I'm sure in America, there have been a number of high-profile cases where children have been taken and then cut up. And they'll say it's some crazed lunatic or what have you. There's a lot more to it than that. So this is when I said earlier about I can't forgive certain people. And those people that perpetrate that, I certainly couldn't forgive them. And it's an industry. You know, I know I've spoken to Wynne and we've talked about the slave trade only sort of a few hundred years ago that both Britain and America were in. And what's absolutely staggering is that in Great Britain, there were within a few miles of the centre of London, 2,000 slave traders. These were incredibly wealthy men. Just 2,000 living within a few square miles of London. And between them, they owned 40% of the world's slaves. So London, unfortunately, is a focal point and has been for a long time for many activities. And that's why Jimmy Savile was British and not American. There is an evil, dark, satanic energy that runs through part of London and part of the group, and it has got to be cleansed out. So that's why I said how much time we've got. I'll stop it there because I'll take some more questions. I do not want to end this show on that question. It's a damn good question. I had to cover it. But I want to end on a much more positive note. Thank you.
Right. So, a quick question, about, Anu, right? Are there two Anus? The father of Anunnaki beings, Enlil and Enki, is Anu. Is their father the Alpha Draconian Lord you have referred to as Dad in the past? Or is this an Anunnaki king named after Anu the Draconian? I've come to the assumption that the so-called devil that makes deals with wannabe celebrities in Hollywood is reptilian. Is he, and is he one of the characters that we hear about, other than the deal with the devil scenario? Thank you, and God bless Glenn. So, yeah, good question. Who is the devil that people do a deal with?
Right, okay. No, this is the difference between Satan and Lucifer.
And also Anu and, you know, these other guys.
Yes. But the way that the Vatican categorizes Satan and Lucifer is for them is very important. Don't think people understand it. Right. No. The deal that you would do in Hollywood to sell your soul is not to Anu or anybody like that. This is a demon who is part reptilian but is part demonic. Anu is not demonic, neither is Suns, but there are energies that exist in the fourth dimension, and I'm not talking jinn, that are fourth dimensional, that are a reptilian creature but are energy based demonic, and these can possess people. This is the deal, this is the being, I should say, that those people would do a deal with. That is the creatures, not Anu. Right. There's only one Anu, or at least there is only one High Lord King. Enlil and Enki, remember that Enki was the firstborn son and should have been the new Anu. He should have been the new High King. And then Enlil was born, but because Enlil was born of a half-sister, although he was second in line, he was more pure bloodline, and that is why in Assyria and in the Egyptian pharaohs, you made your sister pregnant, or you made your half-sister pregnant, because that was the only way that child was going to become a pharaoh. Now, in our society, it is incestuous and it's illegal to have sex with your brother or your sister. But in Anunnaki times and reptilian times, that was the only way that child could become an official leader. And that's why all these other ancient cultures all followed it, because they were all part of that same project of the Anunnaki. So you had the big battle and the continuing battle between Enlil and Enki. One was the lord of the space, the sky, and one was the lord of the terraforming of the earth. And then the Enki had two sons, I believe. I can't remember what Enlil had, two sons. And so everyone was fighting for what have you. But there is only one High Lord King at any one time. Anu actually wasn't particularly interested. His job, from his perspective, was to keep everyone fighting amongst themselves, because as long as they were fighting each other, they weren't coming after him for his throne. So the deal with the devil is not with Anu, it is with a half demonic, half reptilian entity that has the ability to go inside people. There's a particularly nasty creature to remove from somebody. So yeah, it's a very good question, thank you.
And it was not the devil. Okay, now let's end on a high note. In fact, so high, the highest note of the frequency, violet, purple energy. Would you be so kind and talk about the violet light, violet flame, if you have any knowledge of Saint Germain also? Thank you so much. Much love for both of you. Thank you for a fun, nominal, no, for a fun work, must be an autocorrect, Hania from US. Chicago. Violet, please.
I'm not really big on the saints, you know, Archangel Michael or Saint Jerome. I don't really, you know, do much with them. I suppose I don't really understand that side of it. Violet, purple. Remember that the mantis or mantid robe is purple. The ancient Romans used to wear the purple robe. It was seen as the robe of divine ruling, gods, the color of the gods, although their color purple isn't the purple we have today, but that's by the by. In terms of high frequency, yes, it is. It's used for healing. Actually, it can be used to destroy cancer cells. It's not widely known. And also, it's approaching superluminal travel. And because literally on a graph, it is one of the highest points and shows the highest frequency, it is seen as the purest. And therefore, it is just a symbol used and taken by a particular race that wanted to mark the fact that it was the top of the tree. So the purple color is the color that you associate on this planet with royalty. and it's just them taking the collar and using it. So it is very important. And, you know, when we see in marketing the color purple, it's very clever, because when you're looking at colors, you associate certain colors with certain things. And the obvious one is blue for a boy, pink for a girl, which is so mind controlling. It's just disgusting. But, you know, there's a particular, my favorite water that I buy from the supermarket has a purple top on it, and a purple band around the middle. And it is the company's most expensive water. I buy it because I know there's going to be no damn fluoride in it. And so purple is always seen as high end, and, you know, other colors are not. Think about a Monopoly board. The cheap property is brown. And this is in England, so you guys in the States, I'm sorry, I don't know, but in Britain it's Old Kent Road and Whitechapel, and that's all brown, dirt, the colour of earth, cheap. And then you come right round the board and we've got Park Lane and Mayfair, and they're this sort of mauvey purple colour. Sometimes in some boards they're sort of very dark blue, but they're usually mauve or purple. And it just shows you how it's embedded in everything that the system holds true. So it is based on science. So thank you for the question, and I guess we're out of time now, JP.
We are indeed. Thank you very much, Simon. Any final final thoughts?
Yeah, this is exciting time. You know, we're here fighting for this, and there are so many things evolving, and I want people to keep their eyes open. I know we often say, look, we don't listen to the established news, we don't read the newspapers, but I actually think it's worth just keeping an eye, because they're cracking and they're beginning to have information coming out. And it's also good to know what these people are actually thinking. So if you have it with a guarded view, but try and keep your eye now on the ball, because 2017, everything is, literally every morning now something is developing. It's a very exciting time, and we've got to go through this. And, you know, I just can't wait to get out the other side. Let's just get through, get out the other side, and then have the life that we all really should have. And, you know, we just be happy.
And looking forward to you sitting in your deck chair with your cup of tea and a bun. Thank you very much, Simon Parks.
Lovely, thank you.
A bit of Frank Zappa with Purple Haze after this.
Purple Haze, very good.